here's a sentence I haven't said in a while. Welcome to The Trumpet, the official podcast of Elephant Room Productions. We are back. We had a very slight inconvenience over the past year, I guess is the best way to say it. But we are back and we are ready to go. And, very exciting, this is the most guests I have ever had for an episode of The Trumpet. I've got not one, not two, not three, not four. Wait, no, it's four. The entire company of Elephant Room Productions to welcome us and just feed her back. So, guys, thank you so much for coming to chat today. So the goal of tonight is one, to just remind you all that we're here. We got through COVID together. We had some amazing stuff go on during the past year to make up for the lack of live theater. But we are back with one of our, you know, what I would argue is one of our most active programs, which is the Elephant Ears Reading Program. Reading series, I apologize. Before we go into our changes and what's going on with that, I thought we would take a moment. For those of you who don't know the full behind the curtain of Elephant Room Productions, I'll just tell you all about who we are. So you know me, you hear way too much of my voice. So I would like to turn things over to Lauren M. Krebs.
All right. Well, hi, everyone. My name is Lauren. I'm the artistic director of Elephant Room Productions and have been since we founded it in 2014. I directed a number of the projects over the past year and just am excited to see where it continues to go.
Thank you, Lauren. And Chris, can I bring you in next?
Hi, everyone. I'm Chris. I'm the producer and director of Elephant Room Productions. I've been around since the beginning, and no 2 years have ever been the same. And I think we're entering an exciting stage of ERP with this new rebranding of ears. And so I'm excited to share that with you with this very talented group of artists.
Thank you, Chris. And sliding on to our marketing director, Julianne, can you pop in?
Yeah, hi. My name is Julianne, and I am the marketing director of Elephant Room Productions. In the past year, I directed and edited As I Was, Not As I Am, and I've also directed for our opioid production, The Fifth Vital Sign. And I've been involved since 2017, where I performed in my first Philly Fringe show with these guys. And so, yeah, I've sort of been involved ever since then.
All right. And last and arguably not least, Blake, come on in.
Hey, I'm Blake. I'm one of the artistic associates. So, you know, I do some grunt work and things like this and that. But I've been with the company since right after I did Salamander, which was my first Philadelphia show in the Philly Fringe. And I haven't looked back since.
All right. And, you know, from founding members to the friends we made along the way, the real good place, we have come and we've just come an incredible way. And we're still here and we're still doing theater. So Lauren, if I could turn over to you, for those of us who don't fully know what the program is, can you tell us a little bit about what the Elephant Ears Reading Series is and kind of how it got started?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's called the Elephant Ears Reading Series, ears for short. We like elephant puns as much as possible. So we decided right in the beginning that we really wanted to focus on producing new work, and that we felt that at the time, and maybe not so much now that it's been, you know, several years, but at the time especially, we were experiencing a lot of recycled work and, you know, different takes on similar projects and everything. And we really wanted to focus on, you know, promoting the editing, the work, the creativity and the research and everything else that goes into a playwright writing a piece. So we thought, you know, how can we really help bolster this craft and help playwrights, you know, move from this stage where they're like, I don't know, I put a bunch of words on a page, it might make sense, people might feel that it works, but I'm not really sure. So we decided, well, what if, you know, what we love, I mean, we love directing plays and putting them up there and everything about it, but I find personally that I really like table work. And, you know, when you can get with a group of artists and all sit around and really, you know, decipher each word, decipher each line and figure out what exactly is meant behind a play, that's where the magic really happens. And if you don't have enough of that done, it can really hinder a project. So for us, we love that part. So we thought, well, why don't we, you know, offer this service to playwrights where we can read their play. We can just give them honest feedback from a very initial read. We don't rehearse the pieces ahead of time. We don't, you know, act our hearts out. We're really just reading it for the clarity, for understanding, for, you know, how the play climaxes, how it arcs, the motives of the characters, everything. And then we give the playwright back this feedback so they can then take it to the next level. I mean, I wouldn't say that we were shocked, because I think this is a really great service. And I think anyone who's ever tried to write something can see that. But I have been really just taken aback by how much playwrights have resonated with this over the years and how much it's really helped them. I think that's just so rewarding in itself to see that we've actually helped them move along. But it's, you know, there's selfish intentions there too, because it does help us in that a lot of the projects, if not most of them, I think we've actually found from doing these readings where we get to really, you know, dissect a play and dive into it. So that was a very long-winded answer to tell you that we collect we read them, well, we choose them, then we read them with actors from, you know, all levels and all areas now that we can do them virtually. And, you know, which is also a rewarding experience for actors, just, you know, be able to stretch your muscles, you know, mentally and vocally and everything else. So we collect the plays, we pick them, we read them, we send them feedback, and then we hope that they come back with more plays in the future.
And personally, I can't speak for everyone, but for me, I've been involved with workshops before. I've been involved with stage readings before, every step along the way of a new play being development. And for me, the thing that I love the most about this program, and the reason I, you know, if I did not work here, I would probably continue doing them, is that live reaction, that first impression of not having, and you, in fairness, you do always give the option if people want. You usually send the play out, you say, this is the play we're reading. If you want to read it ahead of time, fine. Otherwise, no pressure. I personally prefer to just go into that reading with nothing on my mind about what the play is about, how long it is, anything like that, so that when we give that feedback, I am reacting as if I were an audience member, as well as someone who just dived into the piece. Mm-hmm. So Julianne, as someone who has promoted these pieces in the past, what has changed about this program, and what has changed about how we are promoting them?
So when I first joined, what the process was is when we were just starting this program out, we didn't have our names out there as much, and we didn't know what the demand would be for something like this. And over, I think, like the first, like upon the two first years that they were doing this program, it became immediately clear that there was definitely a need. There was definitely a want for playwrights to want to have their work read. And when I joined in 2017, they were basically at a point where there was a waiting list. Like we would get we would do like one a month, because we would be meeting in person and we would try to coordinate schedules with the readers and everyone who would be involved, because we all try to show up as much as possible for these things. And it just got to the point where we would have all these playwrights sending in stuff, and we would be like, we can put you on a waiting list. And like that waiting list would be, they would have like 10 playwrights in front of them, or 10 or more playwrights. And so at that point, even if we could get to them, after all of that time had passed since the initial submission, they might have already gotten the feedback for that piece. They might have moved on. They may have a different piece at that time. And so to work with the demand that we had, and also just make sure that we're giving the playwright at least something. Because we don't want them just feeling like they're just waiting on the bench for this thing to get read. We came up with the idea that for the relaunch of the Ears readings, we would basically just put out a call to arms. Everyone's just like, just send in your stuff. Just send in your stuff. And we will read them and we will figure it out. And we will pick three out of the ones that are sent to us that we think that we're just like, there's something here that we'd really like to dive into, that we'd really like to give feedback on. And for each play that we read, we did give like a little bit of feedback. So at least they received something. It just wouldn't be as in-depth as an Ears reading was. But at least they get something as opposed to just waiting for months and months and months to even talk about getting their piece read. So it worked really well in that regard. What we didn't anticipate was within, we were just like, okay, so we'll put out the thing and say like, send in your stuff and we'll put it up and leave it there for a month and we'll advertise this for a month. And hopefully by then we'll get like 20 or so pieces and we'll pick the three from there. Within literally a week, we had 50 pieces between like our 5-person like team. And we're like, okay.
Who would have thought at the culmination of a year where no live theater could be produced and very few of us could go in public to work, there would be an excess of hard written pieces.
Literally everyone coming out of the woodwork being just like, this will be my King Lear. Just reading it into the megaverse.
Yeah.
But it was
very, very, you know, it was a daunting task to get through all of them, but I was so surprised. I mean, especially considering, you know, like many theaters, we had not been as active over the past few months, just mm-hmm. especially while we all tried to navigate, you know, what were we doing through COVID? Were we, you know, were we going to do more of these virtual shows? Were we going to, you know, take the time? How are we mentally holding up during the pandemic? So it was, you know, it was very heartening to see the instant that call went out, it was received.
Yeah, definitely that. It was, and also all of that time that, personally from my experience, like just sitting and like not having the theater experience, with the exception of little bits and pieces and stuff that I was working on during the pandemic, just getting to like literally have like, okay, this week, these nights, I just read plays. And it's just something very heartening and like getting to return to that and just feel like this could be a piece and we're getting to that point where live theater is coming back. So it was a really like nice little solace for a lot of people who were just coming out of the pandemic, getting to just sit and imagine what these pieces live could be like.
So Blake, looking at it from the actor side, of the people in this company, of the people in this chat right now, besides Lauren and I, you are probably the person who has been at, I would argue, the most of the Ears reading over the past few years. Sometimes I definitely got the impression that my cat much preferred your company to mine because of how often you were at my house reading plays. So what can you say about the actual reading process as it was before and as it is now? And as someone who worked on kind of honing in those feedback questions, how the feedback is curated for the playwrights.
Yeah, sure. So there's a series of prepared questions. All of the readers have the questions ahead of time, which kind of helps you going into the play because, you know, you get a chance to look at them and think about them before you actually get in there. You know, I haven't been at the new ones, but from what I've heard, our change of questions has done a good job focusing things. I would say that in our early ones, they're always very, I think that they're always productive, even if they take a long time sometimes. But the rearranging of the questions to start from focused to more open-ended, I think has been very helpful. Because I know for some of our earlier readings, of course, as we've all talked about in our own time, there was oftentimes an issue that with open-ended questions at the beginning, we would cover things that were specific later, and then it felt like we were just repeating the same thing. And, you know, when we had our focus questions in the beginning, it also gives that playwright a nice, quick, and easy way to find exactly the answer they're looking for. And I think that that's a major improvement from their end that we're giving them now. Something really funny's happening.
I don't know what that is, but I will.
Whose house is that?
It is mine.
Oh my god, is that Sean?
It very well might be. Very well might be my partner.
Bless his heart. Oh my goodness.
Gonna remind him that we are recording and just keep going because that's live theater.
Yeah, we have a laugh track.
We do. That's how funny Blake is.
That's how. Oh.
We only use it for Blake, actually.
Yeah.
That's right. It's funny because my mic was muted for a moment. Anyway, neither here nor there. Just plowing on because it's live theater and that's what happens in live theater. Chris, can I isolate on you for a moment to talk about where we go from here? Yeah, it didn't work. I thought it would work. It didn't work. Where we go from here? What can you tell us about the benefit of these readings and kind of how it has worked for our productions?
Yeah, thanks, Robert. So, basically, ever since the Ears process, the Ears series. Has been implemented, all of our shows, all of our productions have come from the year's process. There's this journey that we sat down and devised early on in ERP, and ERP was sort of this natural fit into it, into the journey, and that was to go from the very early stages of writing and development to a fully produced play, and a couple of the stages and Ears fit in there great because Ears is the submissions that we're getting are usually very raw, and the playwrights usually want to really work on them together, and so from there. The natural extension of that is onto our staged readings. We do a bit more workshopping and actually get the play up on its feet. So we're no longer sitting around a table anymore. We actually get to see a bit about how it would look up on its feet. And then from there, we look at it from a production standpoint. Because we've had that workshop experience, and because we've had a staged reading, we have a pretty good view of how it would look, and so all of our productions, since the Ears process has gone through that sort of journey, and I think the Ears process is one of the reasons I really love this program is because it really gets it's like getting into the ground floor. It's like we get to know a lot about the play from its very early stages to all of its iterations to the revisions that are made, right after the Ears reading, to when we get to the workshop weekend, to the revisions that are made through there, and then leading up into production, to when the play is actually put up on stage and then we get to see it in all of its glory with its production elements and costumes and the like. So it's a really great way for us to get to know a play and a playwright to get to know us too. I'm a big fan of it as someone who is also a playwright. I'm definitely the kind of playwright who like loves to keep working on plays.
It's such a profound point to make there before I realized I was still muted. But you were right. It is very, very unique to just be on the ground floor of that page to stage journey. I mean, so many shows you see, even the undeveloped shows or the partial developed shows, the most you get is some notes in the program from the director or the playwright saying, this was my journey. Just being able to be on the ground floor and hit all the buttons on the elevator and watch how everything gets made, it's why we do theater, personally. And, you know, just to throw this out there, I did not prep anyone for this in the pre-interview, but if y'all could describe the EARS program in one word, what word would you pick?
Oh, no, I gotta go.
All together, one, two, no, I'm kidding.
Chaotic.
Paul?
Just word association, whoever, whatever comes first, just pop it out, no order.
Oh, dang it, I think we all muted at once when we all shot.
I would say unexpected. You
nice.
It's, oh, there's always something unexpected. Mm-hmm. A play that goes a different direction, sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a way that might shock your sensibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always something unexpected happening.
Okay, I have one.
Good.
This isn't totally fleshed out yet, but because I'm actually going back and forth between two words, but I'm gonna go with growth, and to me, that means this is probably because I'm also like surrounded by plants, but I'm like thinking of like the idea behind like planting a seed and you know getting to see something grow in front of you, so. That's what comes to mind when I think about EARS.
I would say community would be my word, specifically because like if like best case scenario, we get this piece and it's just this, like we've had EARS readings where the people sitting down, we just really resonate and connect with it. And afterwards, even after we cut like the sound and recording, we're still like picking bits and pieces and nothing like, oh my God, no, new revelation that we didn't get to tell them, but more just like, oh my God, remember that time, that line, this, that, and it's just like, there's a really special like experience when a whole bunch of people get together and then they get to read the piece and then they resonate with it and then they follow it. Like after I read Salamander by my friend Lisa, who's also gonna be one of my bridesmaids, and so... Yeah, she's in my bridal party, my bridesmaids and mates. But after reconnecting with that, I'm just like, this is so good. And just put everything that I was feeling about this particular issue just in words when they were talking about just, it's a great piece. You should read it. It's on New Play Exchange. Lisa Villamil's Salamander. It's great. But just like, it got me excited to follow this piece and follow this artist and get to know more of their work. And so I think that if the program... If it's just like, if you get good feedback for your piece, that's great. But what's even more amazing is you get to meet all these amazing artists and connect with at least 5 different ones and create this whole like EARS reading community. And I've talked far too much. Lauren,
thank you. No, I was actually it's funny because you guys both said things that I was going to say, but I have a different word, which I'll get to in a second. But I was going to comment and say, I totally agree with community. And to be clear, we actually suggested the playwright not be like there for it, but Julianne is saying like she feels this much of a connection to the playwright even so, because they are such a part of it. And I think that's really neat that they are this like unspoken person. You know, we finally get better feedback when the playwright's not present, which I think most playwrights really agree with, and kind of takes some pressure off them a little bit too. But at the same time, they're still really ingrained in it. They're still a part of it there with you, because to get to my word, which is I think the readings are humble. And I think it's humble because I think we all come to it with a sense of humility. And, you know, the playwright to be able to put something that you're not done with, like Chris said, you know, these are raw. These are not prepared. They're not, I mean, some of them, you know, are and some are more or less so. But, you know, you're putting it out there specifically to be judged. And even if that's in a good or bad way, you know, theater's a lot of judgment for sure. But this is specifically, I want you guys to critique it because I need that. And so being able to be that humble to put forth your art, I think is really important. The actors come into it and they're humble. They don't know the piece very well. They're usually with a bunch of actors they've never met before, which I think is wonderful. And they come together and they read these characters. They give their thoughts. Their thoughts are, you know, valuable. We don't discount anyone because of, you know, level of experience or, you know, anything like that when it comes to these readings. It's really just you as a human being coming and bringing forth, you know, what you have to give. And then even as a facilitator, you know, you have to be humbled to be able to, you know, take this piece you don't know anything about, guide these actors in a discussion that is going to be worth, you know, what this playwright put into it. And so I think in general, you know, it's this, in this career that could be, you know, very egocentric and, you know, self-involved, which it can be, we're taking a step back to really say, like, we need this community. We need this growth. You know, we need this, I'm forgetting Blake's word right now, but we need this, you know, group of people to come together to really, oh, I think it was unexpected, to find some unexpected results, you know, to really come together and work on this because it's important. So,
and, you know, I think it's worth noting when you bring up, you know, the experience of the playwright that, you know, I speak for myself. I don't know if I speak for anyone else, but, you know, I've seen plays written by people with a million accolades and Pulitzer Prizes and various reviews and critics that just have missed the mark with me. And some of the most compelling, visceral, unfiltered theater has come from people who don't necessarily have a name or a stance or, you know, this kind of firmly grounded, you know, reputation. And I guess for me, I would just say my word is family, because that's what I feel when I'm working with everyone in Elephant Room Productions.
All right.
Well, before we wrap up today, before we wrap up for the day, I have asked Julianne and Blake, they have agreed to something that they don't know what they've agreed to, because of the people here, Julianne and Blake, I would say, are two of the people who spend about as much time on the stage as they do behind the scenes. And because the whole point of Ears is bringing new works to light without any preparation or rehearsal, I would like to throw a quick little game at you called Half Rehearsed Scene. So, Julianne, if you will please check your email. I have sent you a sample of a scene by friend of Elephant Room Productions, Emily McLean, who has appeared on this podcast and has submitted some works for us in the past. Blake, you do not need to check your email. The way this will work, Julianne, you are only going to read the first character in the scene as the lines are written, no deviation. Blake, you're just going to fill in the blanks.
You're really putting me on the spot, ain't you, bud?
Hey, that's what you get for agreeing to something that you had no idea what you were agreeing to.
You're right. That wasn't necessarily the most intelligent move I've made all day.
Welcome back, theater. Welcome back.
All right.
So, Julianne, whenever you're ready, you need
all
to
right.
act your prepares yourself.
I'm not ready. No. Okay. Scene. Oh my God, Louise, there you are. Jesus Christ, I've been looking all over for you.
You're looking for me?
It's fine. I'm here.
Okay, I didn't realize that you were waiting on me. I'm sorry.
No, Lou, I'm here.
Right, I get that you're not waiting anymore, but I just don't know you.
Don't pay me. I've been calling you for 2 hours. Why weren't you answering your phone?
You know, I think there's maybe a Lou over there. I'm not quite sure. I don't have any calls on my phone.
Get up. We need to find an Uber and get back to the hotel.
Wait, back to the... Are you okay? Do you need help?
You're drunk. You're drunk.
No. If someone's drunk here, I think it's you.
No, mother of God, stop that. It's just be still. Like, Jesus Christ, Louise, hold still.
Hold still? I haven't gone anywhere.
Don't mention it. So can I get the Uber now?
Yes, I would very much like if you would get the Uber now.
What happened?
To the who? What?
She and the other girls went back to the hotel hours ago, and I can't ask her, so I'm asking you.
That's not even my name. Wait, the girls,
okay, fine.
Okay, fine. Fine with what? What have we agreed to?
God damn it, would you look at those peak surge prices? The cheapest is $45. To go 7 blocks?
Yeah, that's actually pretty ridiculous. I'm going to go ahead and change a little direction there. That is a little ridiculous. 45?
What are you going to do? Stay out here on the street corner after Mardi Gras? Because if that's not the opening sequence of Law & Order New Orleans episode, I don't know what is.
Are you inviting me to come back with you?
No, of course not. Lord, you're drunk.
Okay, so what are you looking for? You're looking for me to pay for the ride? You don't want me to come? You don't want me to go? What am I allowed to do?
Scene. End. I'm not allowed to do anything. It's the end of the scene. Apparently not. We don't get any resolution.
Nope, not even a little bit.
That was the most disjointed thing I have ever seen.
You know what I loved?
There's a moment.
There's some moments where it really I was feeling it.
Are you inviting me back? God, no, you're drunk.
Yeah, that was great.
That was perfect.
Well, if there's any good sign that the theater community is returning, it's the ability to laugh and play together and act together again. Julianne, Chris, Lauren, and Blake, thank you so, 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 so much for coming on and chatting with me. And thank you for everything you do. All of us together, being a part of Elephant Room Productions is just one of those things that makes my theater life worthwhile. So thank you so, so much.
Thank you, Robert.
Thanks for having me.
Well, that is all that we have for tonight. And this is the first time I've said this in about a year. Until next time, this is Robert Jean Pelleccio signing off.